Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org.
All right, you guys, it's the Scott Horton Show. Check out the full archives at scotthorton.org and at libertarianinstitute.org. Follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. All right, introducing Nasser Arabi. He is a journalist, a Yemeni journalist based out of Sana'a, Yemen, covering the terrible wars, plural, going on there. Welcome back to the show, Nasser. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm okay, Scott.
Okay, good. I appreciate you joining us on the show again here. So, I apologize. I'm actually not up on the latest news. The last I heard was the Saudi American-backed Saudi and allied invasion of the, I don't know how to pronounce it, port there on the Red Sea is imminent. Is that still the case? Has it already begun? Can you give us an update?
I think this is the most important point of what is going on now in Yemen. US and Saudi try to close the last entry point of food to tighten the starvation and the blockade. But I think now there is some kind of retreating because of many things. And the first thing is that many lawmakers, many lawmakers from the Congress sent letters last week to White House, to Trump, and to the Defense Secretary and to the Attorney General that they could not do, that U.S. could not get involved or further involved in Yemen without the approval of the Congress. And the lawmakers said that it is very dangerous to think of attacking the last harbor or the Hudaydah harbor, which means that they would not do this and they would not attack this. And there is also a signal from the Saudis that the cost will be big in terms of human beings, soldiers and human beings, I mean soldiers and civilians, and it is not easy. And it is not the end. It will not be the end of the war. It will not be the end of the conflict at all. Qaeda ISIS wants this to happen. Qaeda ISIS is waiting, can't wait for this to happen. Qaeda ISIS wants this to happen. So I think this will not happen. And if it happens, it will be a big catastrophe.
Well, you know, there was actually an interview with the current leader of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula that was published, and they talked about it over at the Long War Journal, which they're kind of hawkish guys over there, but they keep a very close watch on these different branches of Al-Qaeda around the world now because of the terror war, of course. But, yeah, and they had him talking about, you know, basically what it's like to be fighting in alliance with the Saudis and therefore the U.S. and how useful our force has been for their goals in fighting against their true enemies, the Houthis, they say. The Houthis in alliance with the former president there.
Yes, this is the point that helps us and clarifies what we are always saying about this. The top leader of Al-Qaeda openly and explicitly said this week that he is fighting, that Qaeda, ISIS, are fighting alongside the U.S.-backed fighters, which is Saudi mercenaries and Saudi soldiers. And this is now the most clear message from the top leader, Qasem al-Raimi. He said, we fight alongside all Muslims. He said, all Muslims and all groups. This is, he means the Sunni people. He means the Saudi soldiers. He means the Saudi allies. And it's as we always say, Saudi has only the Qaeda and ISIS who are fighting for her in Yemen. And he said this very clearly. And I think this is what made the congressmen and women made their strong statements and their strong letters to the White House to stop supporting and to stop going to war with Saudi Arabia in Yemen. Of course, Al-Qaeda, when they say something like this, they say, they mean that when they said we are fighting alongside all Muslims, they consider that Houthi and Saleh and all others who are defending Yemen are not fighting and are not Muslims at all. So they made it clear that everyone who is now fighting with Saudi Arabia in Yemen is Qaeda, or the majority of them, of course, because Saudi Arabia has no allies from the other parties or from the other groups. It's only Muslim Brotherhood. And Muslim Brotherhood is the incubator of Qaeda ISIS. This is why he said something like this. And I think if we talk now of what is happening in the South, your audience will understand clearly what is happening exactly in Yemen.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. What is happening now in the South is the legitimacy of the Saudi puppet Hadi is buried now. It is it is nothing now. United Arab Emirates, that is the second largest partner of what is of the so-called Arab coalition led by Saudi Arabia, they refused Hadi legitimacy and they declared a president for the South. His name is Al-Zubaydi, Mr. Al-Zubaydi. So why they did this? Because Hadi, before this decision, or last week, sacked the leadership of the South. The leadership of the South that is supported by the United Arab Emirates and replaced them with people, with a man linked to Al-Qaeda, linked to Brotherhood. And the Brotherhood is the enemy of the United Arab Emirates. And it is, of course, Brotherhood is the incubator of Qaeda ISIS. And this is why the Emirates refused, completely refused by organizing a million-man demonstration, and they declared leadership for the South, and this leadership said that they are in their way to declare the independent state of the South, because they don't want Qaeda ISIS to control and to rule in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are in a very critical state. Now, the people should, the world should now realize that the legitimacy they were talking about was a big lie, because Hadi now is not is only legitimate in the luxury hotel in Riyadh. He's not legitimate in the South. He's not legitimate in the North. He is he can't do anything at all. Even the man who was appointed by him, he's not in the South. He's not in the North. He's still in the luxury hotel, you know, in Riyadh. So now I think that if there is help for Yemen, I think the world should know, including the United States and the lawmakers and everyone, that the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia were only lying about legitimacy, and they wanted only to destroy and to kill the Yemen people for their influence only, not anything else.
All right, now, let me make sure I understand you right about this guy. You're saying that here we have this coalition, the U.S. backs Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in this endeavor, and the UAE has decided that the Saudi puppet Hadi, who Hillary Clinton maneuvered into power back in 2012, that he was just, this is going nowhere. We need to give up on him. And now they've decided that this guy Zubaydi should be the new leader that they're trying to install in power, which, one, you're saying goes to show the complete bankruptcy of the policy, how wrong the policy was to even try to put Hadi in there when he had no legitimacy at all. I think that is clear. But you're also saying, did I understand you right? You're saying that this guy Zubaydi that they're replacing him with is no better than Hadi. And that, in fact, I think the way you're saying it is, well, he comes from the Muslim Brotherhood, which means he might as well be from Al-Qaeda. Is that what you're saying? I'm not certain I buy that, but I don't know anything about the Muslim
exactly.
Brotherhood in Yemen either.
Yes, this is the point. This is the point that everybody should know. This conflict did not start last week or last month. We were observing it for 1 year now, at least, between Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. So Hadi replaced the Zubaydi with someone linked to the Qaeda ISIS and his Muslim Brotherhood. Governor, and he's still now in Riyadh. He's not in Yemen at all. They just tried when he people got angry here in the South. He just tried to meet with the Saudi king and with the U.S. ambassador in Yemen, who is in Riyadh, to give him some legitimacy. But this is very funny, because they are, all of them are in Riyadh, and the millions in the South are refusing them completely. Not only refusing them, but The UAE officials said that Hadi, they said publicly, Hadi must be fired. Hadi must be sacked. Hadi must be deposed. This is what they said after his last decision. One of them is the head of the police in Dubai, Rahi Khalfan. He said that Hadi must be debunked. Hadi will never, ever be a solution for Yemen, for not for the south, nor for the north. So he is not liked by anyone. He has no popularity in the south and nor in the north. So he's just someone. He is being used by Saudi for their agenda, unfortunately.
Okay, now, also, I think if I understood you right, you were saying you think that because of the congressional opposition and because of other outcry from other places saying that if they do invade the port at, if it's Hodeida, am I saying it right there, that the consequences would be so dire for the civilian population that at least for now that invasion has been canceled, you're saying. Is that right?
Now knows. Let me tell you why. Now we have one child dies every 10 minutes. This is according to the UN statement. Actually, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who said this in Geneva. One child dies every 10 minutes in Yemen because of hunger-related illnesses, which means about more than 4,000 children die per month. Now we have about more than 3 million Yemeni children who are suffering malnutrition. And this number is increasing day by day. And the only entry point for food is Hodeida now. So you can just imagine if this Hodeida is closed, what will happen? The lawmakers in the U.S. Congress know this fact very well. And I think even Trump now started to realize what it means to go to war in Yemen. He understood because of what he did last January in his field operation, in which about five U.S. soldiers were killed and two helicopters and these things, and many Yemeni civilians. So he knows what it means. The more he gets involved in Yemen, the more Al-Qaeda gets strong. Because everything, now, the money and the weapon, is going to Qaeda, ISIS, because it's the only ally of Saudi Arabia in the ground in Yemen, not anyone else.
All right, now, I know that you've been keeping your own count separate. You talked before about how you had confronted a United Nations spokesman and said, your numbers are low, more people than that have died, and he conceded to you that, hey, sure, I'm not saying otherwise. All I'm saying is this is as good as I know, but if you have higher and worse numbers, then by all means, sir. And I know, well, people can take this for what it's worth, but I found you through the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. You wrote, at least a score or something of stories for the New York Times before. You're a professional journalist, not just some provocateur here. And you say you've been keeping your own count of the dead in this war just in the last 2 years. Is that right?
Yes. And we discussed this number even this week here. This number is the number used by UN is a shame on the world. To say that it's only 10,000 Yemeni civilians were killed. This is not right. It's more than 60,000 civilians who were killed. And I told you now. I told you about what the UN General Secretary said, one child every 10 minutes. You can just imagine, one child every 10 minutes because of this war, because of this starvation, because of this hunger. And now, you can just imagine, even 60,000. 60,000 is not much. It's even less than what we see, what we sense here in reality. But anyway, I mean, they are now using the starvation as a weapon in front of the world. I mean, Saudi Arabia using the starvation as a weapon to kill. They want to starve Yemenis to either to death or to submission. This is what Saudi Arabia wants.
Well, you know, this is the thing about it, too, and this, we've talked about this before, and now here even the United Arab Emirates has given up on Hadi, and that is that there is no end game here. They can just keep going forever, I guess, but if they ever had a plan, it was to put Hadi back on the throne. That was never going anywhere. Now we're 2 years into this. A major part of the coalition, the UAE, has even given up on that now and have this other guy that they also can't hope to possibly install in power in Sana'a. The Houthis apparently and their alliance with Saleh, the former U.S.-backed president, is, as far as I understand, Nasser, completely entrenched in the capital city of Sana'a now. They are the government of Sana'a and at least everything north of that in the country, and they're not going anywhere. And so what's the point, actually? As you're saying, okay, well, the Saudis can starve kids, but other than just sadism, what the hell is even going on here? What, where is the pressure, international or otherwise, for some kind of ceasefire here? Since obviously neither side can win. Neither side can defeat the other and dictate terms. So what are we going to do? We're just going to keep this thing going on? And I'm sorry, I don't mean we because it isn't you, but it isn't me. But it doesn't even seem like they have a plan other than, well, just keep dropping bombs and buying bombs if that's their plan.
Let me tell you one thing. The problem is Saudi Arabia only. Last week, the king, the would-be king, Mohammed bin Salman, he's really the actual king. He said, if we want, we can crush Houthi and Saleh in jail. But the problem is that there will be, from every house in Yemen and in Saudi Arabia, there will be at least one death from every house. There will be a funeral in every house in Saudi Arabia and in Yemen. This is what he said exactly, which means that he started to realize the cost of this war after about 2 years, more than 2 years now. Yes, we know. We know that if he wants to come to Sana'a, it will be very, very, very expensive. But then he should think of something else. What he might think of? He thinks, he knows, this Bin Salman, who went to this war only to be a king, only to make himself a powerful king, because he has rivals inside the family, the royal family. So his father wanted him to be the most powerful one, the sober man, and the one who can't be defeated. So now he knows that any political solution would be a defeat for him. And any continuation for this war is only more and more problems. And just drowning deeper and deeper in this quagmire. So he is now in two problems. Continuing the war is a problem, and political solution, whatever conditions from the Yemeni side, will be also a defeat, because he said he would only end the war at the beginning. He would end the war in Delhi. So this is the problem now. He should think of something else. He's talking about now taking the war inside Iran, as he said in last week in his statement. So if he can take the war into Iran, as he said, by supporting people in Iran, I don't know what he means, but this is what he said. If he is talking about this and talking about the heavy and the big cost of this war in Yemen, so he should now, he would find, or he may find a solution for Yemen. Because it's very clear. I mean, he knows how many how many scenarios of for this solution, but he didn't want. He just wanted the complete surrender and the complete defeat, which is impossible now, because it's very clear for the Yemenis. That they would not. Saudis would not end this war, even if they arrive into Riyadh, into Sana'a. If they arrive into Sana'a, they would not end this war to their favor at all. It's only bigger and bigger and more losses to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, so if we take it the other way around, too, if the Saudis and the UAE and the USA weren't involved here, would the Houthis be able to conquer Aden and all the south? Or they would have to come to an accommodation anyway. Maybe there would be a more federal divided system of power, or even a separation of north and south. What do you think?
Let me give you something, Scott. This is not a matter of conquer. More than 50% of the people of Aden are in Sana'a. Leaders and normal people, and they are here in Sana'a, and they have their own momentum. They have their own momentum. They have their own movement, and they are with us. They are with the Yemenis at the Saudi situation. So, if they have now statements. Now, yesterday they have statements. This movement in Sana'a has a statement against what happened in Aden. It's not easy. The people now who are with United Arab Emirates are not all the South. They are people who hate the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood. And the people here who are here in the South and the North also hate the Brotherhood, of course. But those people in the South, the people who are now with the United Arab Emirates, are not all the South. They are some groups who were convinced by United Arab Emirates to be with the separation, because they are separated. The people in Sana'a, the southern people who are in Sana'a, they are with unity. They don't want separation because they know that separation is not a solution for the South, and it is not a solution for the North. Unity is the solution. But unity should be corrected. Unity should be rectified. Unity should be reformed. This is right in the South and in the North. But United Arab Emirates is thinking now of how to expand its influence, how to control on the Aden board, and they are thinking of just themselves. And there is also one point I think it's important for your audience, is that United Arab Emirates is not doing this without the approval of Trump. No. United Arab Emirates is doing this by order of Trump, because Trump wants to make a balance. Trump knows, the U.S. administration and U.S. intelligence knows, that Saudi Arabia has only Qaeda ISIS who are aligned with her, with Saudi Arabia, only on the ground. And the United Arab Emirates are against the Muslim Brotherhood and Qaeda ISIS. So they want United Arab Emirates to play this role to make some kind of balance. I am sure of this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you go. And they'll fight for and against both sides. I guess they can keep that going for a long, long time. I'm sorry to say. But looks like that's what they're going to do.
If the U.S. administration, if Trump wants to end it, he can end it easily. Because this the continuation of the war of any kind is in the favor of Qaeda ISIS. This is something
right.
that should be understood by any observer who wants to understand the reality here.
Right. Yeah, and this is such, you're right. I mean, that is, even if nothing else was part of this, that's the part that matters the most. And that's, you know, we always start in the middle of the story because we're so late into the intervention here. But the real story going back was that Obama's war, his drone war, CIA and Air Force drone war against Al-Qaeda grew them up and made them more and more powerful. At the same time, he was bribing and arming Saleh, the previous dictator, with all these guns and money that he was using to attack the Houthis, which just made them more and more powerful as they kept winning against him and gaining in power. They ended up helping to drive him out of power and then allying with him. And now here we are fighting, in essence, for Al-Qaeda against Saleh and the Houthis, his former enemies who are now allies. And at the same time, we're still bombing Al-Qaeda, which is, on the face of it, it hurts them because it kills them, but actually just makes them grow, as we've seen this whole time since Obama came into power in 2009. It's just like pouring water on a plant. It just makes them more and more powerful and drives up their recruitment bigger and bigger. So on one hand, when we fight them, we make them more powerful. On the other hand, when we fight for them, we make them way more powerful. And this entire strategy is just absolutely crazy. I mean, if the story of American intervention in Yemen isn't enough to get people to want to just call off the whole terror war, then I don't know what to tell you, man, other than I'm sorry.
Exactly, exactly. This is the point. The point is that the people who are being killed by drones now are fighting alongside Saudi Arabia. They are fighting now, and they got angry. They made a statement here. Why you are doing this? They are fighting with us. They were taking money from us. They were taking weapons from us. This is what Saudi Arabia is saying. Now, every time when Trump kills one or two here or there by drone, because they are fighting now directly with them. They are fighting in Aden, in Beira, in Marib, in Taiz. And in Taiz, it's a Qaeda ISIS who's ruling now. No one else at all. Hadi is zero in Taiz. It's only Qaeda ISIS. In Aden, there is some United Arab Emirates, but in Taiz, there is no at all, and in Mali. So it's only Qaeda ISIS. And Trump should understand what's going on, because they say only Sunni. We are Sunni, and Qaeda is Sunni, ISIS is Sunni, Saudi is Sunni. Okay, so it's one thing. Maybe at the end, Trump would be Sunni with them or what? So they are Sunni now, they are fighting. But they are thinking this way, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, just, you know, I think we discussed this back when we first started talking, but we haven't since then. You're not a Zaydi, Shia, or a Houthi from the north. You're not from their side. You're just a regular, plain old citizen of Sana'a stuck in the middle here. Is that right?
See, I am publicly secular. It is very sensitive word to say here, such a word in Yemen. But I am publicly stated day and night. I am secular. And the secularism is the solution here for us. So I am not Zaydi, I am not Sunni. but I am against those who invade my homeland. And Saudi Arabia is not, unfortunately, Saudi Arabia is just a terrorist regime now. It's not, it's very, very, I can't agree with them that they are Sunni or whatever they say. No, they are not fighting here in Yemen for Sunnah. They are not fighting for Yemen for Islam. They are not fighting in Yemen for anything else, unfortunately. So it's just political.
Right.
Why do they say this?
Yeah, and in fact, going back, I think if we go back 2 years, Patrick Coburn, the great reporter from The Independent, said that this is really all about domestic politics in Saudi Arabia. The king has died. There's a new king. He's a senile old man. The crown prince really runs the country. And under him is the deputy crown prince, this 29-year-old young man who has absolutely everything to prove if he's going to be the king of Saudi Arabia one day. And so he has to have this war to prove what a macho man he is. Simple as that. And that's their interest in it more than any other thing. Again, they know they can't have Hadi back. It's amazing that we're going along with this stuff.
Believe me, he's already the king of Saudi Arabia. He has now all the powers in his hand. All the powers in his hand. He came to the White House as a king, not as a deputy crown prince. Everybody knows in U.S. this fact. He's the king now. But why did he do this to Yemen? Also to be a powerful king, unfortunately. This is the problem. So it is just, it is politics, it is injustice, it is a terrorism, unfortunately.
It is. And it is so unfortunate. And I don't know what to say other than I'm sorry. Again, I really appreciate you coming on the show and helping spread the news about this. That's all we can do, you know?
Yes, thank you very much, Scott. And I hope there is a lot of things to talk about. But, you know, we try just to say the most important point.
Sure. Well, you know what? I actually have time. I'm in no hurry. If you want to go on, I admit forthrightly, I don't even know which questions to ask you. So feel free to... You just say anything you think Americans need to understand about this.
I have one point. I have one point about the humanitarian thing. Very, very important thing. Last week they were in Geneva. The donors were in Geneva with the United Nations, right, to help Yemen from being starved, to rescue Yemen, to save Yemen from the starvation. And the United States said that Yemen needs $2.1 billion for this year to rescue 20 million Yemenis or 19 million Yemenis from being hunger or from being starved, let me tell you frankly, from being starved by U.S. Saudi. So they, who came, do you know who came to Geneva to get this money? Those who came to Geneva to give money to Yemen are the people who kill Yemen, unfortunately. Saudi Arabia was the first one who donated $150 million, which is not equal even to the cost of one day of its war. Not even the cost of one day of its war that kept now for more than two years. So the people who killed Yemen and destroyed Yemen came to Geneva to pay some money for Yemenis or to save Yemenis from death. Unfortunately, they collected or they blagued, actually. They blagued to give Yemen about $1.1 billion. That is about half of what United Nations said Yemen needs. So this was just a public relation. This was just a big lie. This was just to make Saudi Arabia appear okay and good.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they are not going to pay the money. because they have a lot of conditions like the conditions of the harbor of Hodeidah, the same conditions. So why they did this? They did this only to make Saudi Arabia appear good and to let Saudi Arabia commit more crimes, unfortunately. And this is the problem of the misleading and misinformation and the fake media, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in fact, that one sounds like it was probably cooked up by an American public relations firm in the first place. You know, here's what we'll do. We'll pretend that we're the ones who are swooping in to be the humanitarians. You know, that'll confuse them, at least, you know. It's a travesty.
Yes, yeah, exactly. They try to use, as I told you, the starvation and the economy as a weapon. But it is not in their favor at all. Sorry, because we say Yemen has nothing to lose more. Yemen has nothing left to lose now. So Yemen would continue to defend itself. Yemen would continue to refuse such a crime of Saudi Arabia and would defend itself and would not ever surrender.
All right, Nasser. Well, thank you very much again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Scott. Goodbye.
All right, you guys. That's Nasser Arabi. Yemen Now, Yemen-Now, Yemen-Now, Yemen Alon is the website, his news site. And you can check out his archives at the New York Times and just put his name in Google News there, Nasser Arabi, and you'll find a lot going back over the years. And learn a lot of background about the war in Yemen there. And check the archives. I've interviewed him, I don't know, 10 or 15 or 20 times now or something the last couple of years. So check that out. Nasser Arabi, everybody. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, scotthorton.org /interviews. You can find just about 4,500 interviews there. And also at /show, I'm now doing questions and answers there on the old whole show feed. Questions and answers. At scotthorton.org/show. You can sign up for the RSS feeds on both of those. And, you know, I keep meaning to mention that you guys can sign up for the email list so that you get an email that tells you about all the new posts. You can sign up for my Patreon thingamajig, which I keep meaning to mention. And thank you very much to everybody who has. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. There was one other thing. What was it? Oh, yeah, I know what it was. Do me a favor, guys, and give me a good review on iTunes. You know, if you like the show. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.
You drink coffee, I drink coffee, just about everyone drinks coffee. So why bother with anything but the best? Darren's coffee is roasted at his new shop in Claremont, Indiana. And coming soon, you can order on Amazon and support the show by using Scott Horton's affiliate link. Darren'sCoffee.com. Because everyone deserves to drink great coffee.